Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. As we've been sharing with you about putting on the whole armor of God, you and I are now going to enter into spiritual warfare. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." He is going to fight the battles for us. You and I are going to war a good warfare. In 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." You and I are going to engage in a good warfare. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith." It's a spiritual fight against spiritual enemies. We're going to do it with our faith. We're going to fight the good fight and prevail over all of them. In Jeremiah 51, verse 20, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war." You and I are his battle axe. We are his weapons of war. And he says, "With thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms." That shows you that God is going to use you and me in order to bring forth his warfare against his enemies. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21, "The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God." Unfortunately, only a remnant returned to the mighty God. God wants every one of us to enter into the warfare, but the problem is many don't want to engage in the fight. In Exodus 13, verse 17, it talks about how God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, till that was near. For God said, "Peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt," showing the fact that people naturally do not want to enter into war. It's only if you're operating in the Spirit in obedience to God that you will enter into the warfare. And these ones return back to Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Many Christians are drawing back into the ways of the world and are not engaging in spiritual warfare. In Numbers 32, verse 6, we saw the scripture, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here?" The answer should be, no, we're not going to sit. We are going to enter into war. Unfortunately, though, they were discouraging the heart of the children of Israel, and they were not being obedient. And so the Lord's anger was kindled against them. And he said down in verse 11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." If you wholly follow the Lord, then you are going to put on the whole armor of God, and you're going to engage in warfare. And the result was they wandered in the wilderness 40 years until they were all consumed. Well, we saw the scripture further in Numbers 32, verse 20, where Moses said, "If you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, if you all of you go armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel." Israel's a type of the church. Otherwise, you and I have a responsibility to do this not only before the Lord, but also before the church. "And this land shall be your possession before the Lord." He says, "But if you'll not do so, you've sinned against the Lord, and your sin shall find you out." Otherwise, you and I have a responsibility to get armed, put on the whole armor of God, and go forth in battle and drive out all of our enemies. Otherwise, we will be guilty before the Lord. Well, they said they would do as the Lord commanded, and they got themselves armed, every man armed for war, and they went forth to battle. We also talked about the fact that this warfare is a process. In Deuteronomy 2:24, when they came against Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, God said, "Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." The "begin to possess it" shows you that it is a process. "And contend with him in battle" shows you it's going to be a fight against your enemies. Well, in Deuteronomy 3:18, he commanded them to pass over armed before your brethren all that are meet for war. They were all commanded to go forth. Well, the same is true today. today. You and I are commanded to go forth armed to possess our promised land. That's why we put on the whole armor of God, and we're going to war good warfare and fight that good fight of faith with spiritual weapons against a spiritual enemy. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, he talks about when you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses or chariots or people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God's with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You can't be afraid. In fact, in verse 3, he said, let not your hearts faint, fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Well, in verse 8 it says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Then in Deuteronomy 1:21 we see where the Lord hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. The word possess means to occupy by driving out previous inhabitants. Fear not, neither be discouraged. We cannot have any fear, and we cannot be discouraged. We're to be strong and of a good courage, and we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. We have dominion and authority over him. In Joshua 5:6 it says, the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. We've got to obey the voice of the Lord and do what he says. Otherwise, they were consumed and they did not possess the promises. Well, in Joshua 4:13 it says, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle. These were responsive to what the Lord told them to do. And in Joshua 10:25, Joshua said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. If you can overcome one enemy through spiritual warfare, releasing the power of God, you can overcome all of the enemies. In Joshua 14, verse 11, this was the testimony of Caleb. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. That shows you that our spiritual strength for war should continue throughout all of our life, so that we are ready to war good warfare regardless of what your age is. So don't think just because you are up in age that you are not to engage in spiritual warfare. Now in Judges chapter 20 and verse 18, the children of Israel rose, they went up to the house of God, asked counsel of God, and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Judah means praise. That's a revelation that you need to be a praiser and a worshiper of God if you're going to go forth and be successful in spiritual warfare. As you praise and worship God, you're ministering unto him, then he's going to minister unto you. As you praise and worship God, you're offering up the spiritual sacrifice that you're to offer up to him continually. And as you praise and worship God, Ephesians 5:18-19 indicates you're going to be filled with the Spirit as you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to be strengthened, and you're going to go forth in the battle filled with the Spirit so you can overcome the enemy. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, the Bible says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. He's doing the fight in the realm of the Spirit. You and I, though, are part of that fight because we have to fight the good fight of faith to release him to do the battle in the realm of the Spirit. In other words, the battle's not going to be accomplished in your life unless you enter into spiritual warfare and fight that good fight of faith and war the good warfare against your enemies. In 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, we see something that's important. It says, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars that were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. That shows you that David could not build the house until the enemies were put underfoot. And what does that have to do with us? You and I are building a spiritual house unto the Lord through the Word of God in our life. As we bring forth fruit, we are seeing that spiritual house be built. Well, in order to bring that forth, we've got to overcome the enemy. So we've got to fight the fight of faith and war good warfare and see the enemies be put under our foot. In the measure that you've overcome and subdued the enemy underfoot is the measure that you've been able to build the spiritual house unto the Lord, evidenced by the fruit in your life because of the Word of God that you hear and do consistently. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, we see another important point. He says, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Saul is a type of the man after the flesh who warred with fleshly weapons, while David is a type of the man after the Spirit who wars with spiritual weapons. It says David waxed stronger and stronger, while Saul waxed weaker and weaker. That shows you that when you walk in the Spirit and you use spiritual weapons, you are going to get stronger and stronger against the enemy. While if you are like Saul and you walk in the flesh and try to deal with things on a fleshly level, you will get weaker and weaker and the enemies will prevail over you. Notice it says that there was long war between Saul and David. That shows you that there is a long war between the Spirit and the flesh in your life. Remember Galatians 5:16, we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Remember that the Spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. And you've got this flesh throughout your life, so there'll be long war between the Spirit and the flesh. But if you will walk in the Spirit and use spiritual weapons, you will get stronger and stronger and walk in victory. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9 and 10, it says, "After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away." It says in verse 10, "He arose, and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." Here it shows that what we're going to do in spiritual warfare, we're going to arise and we're going to take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in our mouth, and we're going to speak forth the Word, or speak what the Word tells us to speak, and we're going to smite the enemies continually until the Lord brings forth a great victory in our life. We do see the process of the fight here, though, because it says he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. That means he had a lot of smiting. He was engaging in a lot of warfare against him. But it says his hand clave unto the sword. That speaks of the fact that you and I are going to engage in a lot of warfare, but our hand is going to hold fast to the sword. And when is the sword in your hand? The sword is in your hand is when the word is coming forth out of your mouth, because the sword of the Spirit is the rhema, the spoken word of God, as we saw when we talked about putting on the whole armor of God. So as you keep the word in your mouth and you keep speaking against the enemy, smiting the enemy as long as it takes, even though you may get weary, the Lord will bring a great victory for you. We see this attitude in spiritual warfare revealed in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 38, where it says, "I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I'd consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me." God wants you to get on the offensive and pursue your enemies and destroy them, and you don't quit until they're consumed, wounded, and put underfoot so they cannot arise. God gives you the strength to battle, and you're going to subdue those enemies under your foot. We're going to talk more on the subject of spiritual warfare in the next broadcast. Are you looking for a New Testament church? We teach and preach the uncompromised Word of God with in-depth teaching, bringing forth scripture after scripture on subject after subject. I also minister healing and deliverance to all who have a need. I've seen the Lord heal cancer, heart problems, diabetes, blindness, deafness, dumbness, seizures, eliminate tumors, and bring forth healing from all kinds of sickness and disease. I invite you to visit Jesus is Lord Outreach Center. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.